the 12 steps. So let me introduce my friend Marty.
Marty.
My name is Monty, and I'm an alcoholic. I've been sober for 3,653 days, and I want to thank my higher power. I want to thank Alcoholics Anonymous, and I want to thank my family and my AA family. Because if it wasn't for you guys and God, I couldn't do this. And Alcoholics Anonymous has showed me how to live life without the use of alcohol and other substances. I'm deeply indebted to this program, so my responsibility as a member of this program is to carry the message everywhere I go and to work with other alcoholics or addicts, whatever your problem is. And I do that because in one of the paradoxes, man, it says you got to give this away in order to keep it. And it also says, and if you read a little further down, it says that if you don't give away what was freely given to you, you will get drunk again. I don't want to take that chance. I'm a Jekyll and a Hyde. You put alcohol in me, this ain't the guy you get. Okay, and I joke about it to people wherever I go. I tell them that, you know, because I like it when people offer me a drink. You know, I like to be able to say no. You know, I mean, I know that I have a disease. I have an allergic reaction to alcohol. When I put a drop of it in me, there ain't no telling what you're going to get. Okay, so when I say I'm allergic to it, I also break out in handcuffs or prison cells. You know, I've spent a good portion of my life in prison. Okay, 17 years, man. I did 5 years straight my first term, and I swore that when I got out, I was not going to drink again. All right, it was a 4-hour bus ride home. Got out at like 6 in the morning, didn't get on the bus till about 8, got home about noon. I was drunk by 2 o'clock. Okay, I hadn't even reported to the pro yet. You know, and I swore that I was going to, you know, not do other stuff. And it didn't work, man. You know, my works don't get me, it gets me prison or you know, just drunk or loaded, man. And I stayed out for like 2 months that time. And I got another prison sentence of 680 for .003 of some drugs. You know, and when I say drugs, man, alcohol is a drug to me. Because when I'm using, I'm drinking. My favorite drink is Beefeaters. Or if I can't afford that, I'm drinking White Port, Night Train, whatever I can afford. You know, because I like to get drunk, man. I like that feeling, man. You know, I don't like to be the person that you see in front of you right now. Today, I can tell you that I love this guy that's out here right now. I love working with other people. And I'm totally amazed, man, of all you guys that are here. There's a lot of you in here that I see all the time. And there's a lot of you that I go to a lot of meetings with. There's a lot of you guys that are newcomers. And you guys help me tremendously. You make it worth me wanting to do this. You know, I found a freedom, man, and that's through the 12 steps of this program. You know, Michael David Looper, man, used to say that he was rocketed into another dimension of existence. And I didn't know what he meant until probably the last year, man, especially the last about 6 months. You know, I found something that gets me higher than any drug ever did. It gets me higher than any drink ever got me. And that's a thing called the sky ski. And man, oh man, I am so addicted to that thing, man. I want to go to the lake tomorrow morning. You know what I mean? It's freezing cold. I bought a wetsuit. I'm in. You know what I mean? That's the type of alcoholic addict that I am, man. I take it to the extremes, man. You know, the book says that we insist on enjoying life. And I've got some friends in my circle, man, that show me that I can still have fun, man. The fun that we have should be illegal, man. I mean, it's out of this world. You know, I got the pleasure of hanging out with a guy named Grass, man, and I think it's an honor to be able to hang out with him. You know, Michael David told me something before he died, man, because he knew that I was going to buy a boat, and he told me, he says, you know, there's a guy that knows how to have a lot of fun. You know, if you can get in his circle, man, it'd probably be kind of hard. But if you can, you'll be lucky because he's real picky. You know, and I got the pleasure, man, of getting invited to come out to his house on a birthday, man. And, you know, I didn't go, man, when he invited me, man. I just wanted to do whatever I was doing, man. And I do a lot of time by myself at my house, and I read a lot. You know, I write a lot because I have a lot of stuff that needs to be worked out, man. And I have found the power in the tip of that pen when it hits the paper, man. You know, I get to see, you know, what I write, and I get to take a look at myself, man. And but that day of his birthday, man, my life changed, man. Another turn happened, you know, and I got to go out, man. And, you know, I called and it was almost over, but I called him up. I said, "Hey, man, where do you live at? Where's your address?" And he told me, man, and I'll be honest with you, man, I've been having more fun since that day. I'm glad that I took that chance. You know, I had fear in me, man. I didn't want to go out there because I'll be honest, man, I was a little scared of the guy, man, because he's crazy as hell. You know what I mean? And, you know, and he likes to talk, you know, as much as I do, man. It's competition, you know. But I also seen this guy for years, man. They had a meeting in Farmersville, man. That's where I first met him, man. And I wanted what he had back then, man. You know, and it's been a lot of years since then, man. And I spent a lot of time in prison, man, to get to where I'm at today. You know, I got busted on December the 27th of 2006. My sobriety birthday is December the 28th when I woke up in Bob Wiley's in Unit 22. That was before they moved us over to Unit 31. I was there when that transition took place. You know, I was looking out that little glass window, man, into the day room, and all of a sudden, all these cops just started coming in the door. And I'm like, "Oh boy, it's on. Here we go." You know what I mean? And I told my bunkie, I'm like, "Get up, get up. They're coming in, man. They got bulletproof vests on, riot gear. It's going down." And they moved us all over to Unit 31. And the transition went all right for a minute, and then the little riot kicked off, and, you know, I don't have to experience none of that no more, man. You know, I can honestly say, man, I haven't been in a fight since 2008. You know, I got in one fight my prison term. You know, I stayed out of trouble this time. Every time something was kicking off, I had a critical worker's job. I was a culinary maintenance guy. I worked on heat exchangers and sterile dish machines and Hobart mixers and, you know, all steam lines and all this stuff. You know, I was a really good tweaker. You know what I mean? You know, my partying got me that job, to be honest, because if I take it apart, I can put it together. See, but somewhere along the line, man, I lost my confidence, man. You know, like my boss that I have today, and I'm real grateful for him, man. When I was younger, man, we built a lot of dairymans, man. My stepdad and me, man, we installed a lot of the equipment that they have in there. Hooked in welded stainless steel tubing all over that plant. And we made the machines work. And somewhere along the line, man, with all this alcohol and stuff that I put in my body, I lost my confidence, man. You know, and I've been doing solar now. I got blessed with a job when I paroled. You know, that, see, because when I was locked up this time, I didn't use or drink any Pruno at all. I love Pruno. It's the nastiest tasting stuff, but it gets you there. And that's where I like to be at. I like to be obliviated. They say drink only one cup. I want to drink like three. You know, and then I'm drunk, man, and I can't even, I become this. Sometimes I'm nice. Sometimes I want to fight. Sometimes I want to, you know, hug on you and stuff. And, you know, you never know what you get, man, when I put that stuff in my body, you know. I'll tell you about my first drunk driving that I got. Okay, and that's the only one that I got. God knows I should have got a bunch of them, man, because I drove drunk a lot. And we were at my stepdad. I come from a real crazy-ass family. My Uncle David was a nut. Anybody that knew David when he drank, man, God rest your soul. Thank you for everything you taught me. Thank you for coming and seeing me in prison when I'd given up on myself. It changed my life that day when I seen him, man. You know, he got me a big book in there. I didn't have a big book, man. In the meetings, there was a year waiting list to get in there, man. Okay, to go to a meeting. And he told me, he said, man, you look good. He said, I can tell that you're sober. I said, man, I'm just white knuckling it, man. I'm using every bit of strength I have to not put anything in my body. He says, man, you look good, man. Just don't, you have a choice, man. Do not do it. You know, and you can get what I got when you get out. You know, he says, I'm going to get you a big book. And I didn't think he could make it happen, but that guy made it happen, man. About 8:30 that night, man, that CO come to the door. And, you know, they were doing all kinds of crazy shit in the dorm, you know what I mean? And they're like, oh, shit, the cops are here, man. I mean, we're in prison, and we're worried the cops are coming, you know what I mean? But, because the party didn't stop, man. Ways and means to get more. You know what I mean? You got a bunch of alcoholic addicts in there, and you put them brains together, we're going to figure out a way to make it happen. You know, and you can make the best wine in the world, man, out of tomato paste, yeast, and sugar, man. It's on. You throw a little, give a little more flavor and put some fruit cocktail in it, and we make some good stuff. I'm telling you, one tumbler will have you falling down. That's why we call it a tumbler, you know what I mean? Trust me, man, I fell down the stairs, man, and my boys were like, man, you got to get inside, man. You know, and then I started throwing up everywhere, and because I drank like four of them tumblers, you know, and but Uncle David made that book get in there, man, and I started reading it, man, and I don't have a very high reading level. And so I did it to the best of my ability, man, and sometimes I had to add words that I didn't understand, and, you know, I finally got me a dictionary, and then I'm like, wow, man, I can't even understand these words, you know, and you know, but hey, I put the effort into it, you know what I mean? And I did it, man, and I read the first 164 pages, you know, and because I remember at one of my meetings that that's what they told me to do, man, you know, and you know, I got that first drunk driving, man, and my stepdad had this brilliant idea, man, because he was an alcoholic and an addict and woman beater and all kinds of shit. I tried to kill that guy twice, man. I don't know how I didn't kill him, man. You know, I'm real grateful that he didn't die because I probably wouldn't be sitting here right now. I'd probably be doing life in prison, man. I peeled his cap with a fire stick poker, man, when he hit my mom. He had to have 192 stitches across his head and then some on the inside of his head, man. And hey, that dude got up, man, after I hit him with that thing. I ran out the door and jumped over the porch. You know, the porch has 2x4s. I jumped over and he ran through it. That's what I said, man. I said, oh, shit. Man, I'm sorry. And I was running, man. I'm looking back and he's like almost catching me. And then he fell because he was losing blood, man. And he passed out, man, and my buddy come pulling up. I jumped in that Jeep, and we were gone. You know what I mean? I didn't look back, man. I didn't know if he had died or anything because, you know, we're alcoholic partiers, man. And I didn't go back home for like 3 days, man. I was scared to death to go back there. You know, and my mom told me I had to move somewhere else, man. You know, I couldn't live there with him, man, because he's probably going to kill me. And, you know, I'm only like 15 years old then, man. And so I got to experience all that for years. And another time he hit her, man, and I took a .22 rifle that had 17 bullets in it. You know, so 16 in the sleeve and one in the chamber. And the first one I put above his head, and the next one's supposed to kick right into the whatever you call it, man. I tell him, hit her again and see what happens. I said, there's 16 more bullets in her. I'm going to put them between your eyes. And he acted like he was going to hit her again, man. And I pulled that trigger, man, and it didn't do nothing. That bullet had bent. Man, I picked that thing out of there, and I cocked it back, got another one in there, and I shot one on the side of him. I didn't want to kill him, man, but I thought I might have to. And he's like, don't shoot again. I'm leaving. And, you know, I want to say that he didn't hit my mom again. I never seen that happen again. You know, but he talked to her bad for years, man, and I swore that I would never be like that. Well, you know, alcohol made me be like that, man. You know, I've only hit one girl in my life, man, and that was my baby's mom. And today, me and her have a really, really, really good relationship. You know, I get to see my daughter every other weekend. I get to take her tomorrow. We're going on a trip to the zoo, SeaWorld, and the Wild Animal Park down in San Diego. And that's a blessing from this program, man, from staying sober. Okay, and so anyways, about my stepdad, man, we go to the beach, man. He gets this brilliant idea that we're going to be a family. You know what I mean? We're gonna be a family, man. We're going to go watch the California Angels and the Oakland A's play. I'm like, all right, man, let's go. You know, I got a Dodger hat on, and then we go down there, and, you know, come seventh inning stretch, you know, we go up there and get like three more beers and each, you know, got my brother, he's underage, we got him right there, so he can carry one, and he can like have one in each hand, and come on, Scotty, you're going to carry a couple. You know, so me and Joe got like three more beers, and I'm hammered, man. And at the end of the game, you know, that brilliant thinking, you know, I told him, I said, I'll meet you guys out at the car, man. I'm going to get me an autograph. I got on a Dodger baseball cap at a California Angels game and Oakland A's. You know what I mean? I'm going to ask him for an autograph. And then he looked at me and flipped me off. And I told him, get out of here, man. He got on a Dodger cap. I said, hey, man, I'm a baseball fan. You know, and everybody went in the dugout. And I'm like, you know, everybody's leaving the stadium. And I'm like, man, screw them dudes, man. I jumped on the field and went down in the dugout. And, you know what I mean? Hey, man, let me tell you, there's a whole lot of tunnels underneath that stadium, man. I didn't know that, you know what I mean? I'm like, damn, I was kind of lost, man. Once I made a couple turns, I didn't know how to go back out where the dugout was. So I'm like, shit, I just keep on walking. And I end up at the California Angels locker room. I'm like, hey, guys, I'm back. I said, I need an autograph, man. And they're like, what the hell are you doing in here, man? You got on a Dodger cap, dude. You know what I mean? Next day, you know, the manager comes to me, and he's their clubhouse manager or whatever, man. And he's like, what are you doing down here? I said, man, I'm the fan, dude. Because you ain't no fan, man. You got a Dodger cap, dude. You know, I mean, I don't know exactly what he said, man, but so he sets me down at the desk and they bring security, man. And, you know, I didn't get arrested, man, but they told me I could never come back to that stadium, man. They took a copy of my ID and, they escorted me out of there, man. I come walking out of this door, man, as this opens up, all this sunlight, man, I'm smashed. And, hey, man, my mom in this car is like the only one in the lot, man. There's my stepdad in the parking lot. They're like wondering where the hell I went, you know what I mean? And I get over there, Joe's like, hey, did you get an autograph? I'm like, nope. And so we get in the car. He said, well, you know, and he's drunk too. He's like, all right, Patsy, we're going to go have a weenie roast at Huntington Beach, man. You know, and we're like, all right, yeah, family thing. So we go to Huntington Beach, man, and, you know, they had a nice Lincoln Town Car, man. It was a 78 Town Car, man, that was in really nice shape. It had a good paint job on it, and it was nice, had rims, and I really liked that car, man. And so we're down there. We buy charcoal, you know. We're from Tulare, man. You know what I mean? We're from Tulare, man. They got these cement pits, man. And, you know, we're like, oh, we should have brought some firewood, you know. We're going to roast some hot dogs or whatever we're going to do, you know. And my stepdad, he calls me Hollywood. You know what I mean? I don't know where he come up with that shit out. Probably because when I was back then, I used to like to comb my hair. So I used to wear my hair long back then and feather back and shit, you know what I mean? He says, Hollywood, take the car up to the store and get some firewood. This charcoal ain't going to work. So I'm like, all right, I'll get a drive to Lincoln, man. All right, cool. You know, because I've seen all these girls, man, everywhere. And it had a nice little stereo in it. And I'm like, all right, man, I'm gonna be cruising in the Lincoln Town Car, man. So I get up to the store, man. And, you know, and the alcohol is still affecting me big time, man. And, you know, I make it to the store. And I go in there and I get the firewood. And I get back to where the parking lots are, and I'm like, where the fuck are they at? Where do we park at? Where the hell was I parked at? It all looked the same. And I'm like, so I'm pulling in all these parking lots trying to look down on the beach and see if I can see my mom. And I see this cop car, man, and he's like sitting there talking to these girls in these like G-string bikinis. And I'm like, oh man, I am not going around this dude. So it's cool. I'll just stay behind him. You know what I mean? He ain't going to do nothing to me. You know what I mean? As long as I'm behind him. You know, and so I wait there for about 5 minutes, man, and he motions me to go around him. I'm like, fuck that. I'm not going around this dude. So I keep sitting there, and finally he like gets out of the car and motions me to go around him. So I'm like, man, all right. So I go around him. Well, in the road, it said stop. There ain't no stop sign, man. You know what I mean? And I drove through it, and he threw the lights on me and pulled me over. And, you know, I hid my wallet in the firewood. And now the Houdini, you know, the guy that's going to start lying, and I'm not going to tell him who I am. I'm going to give him a fake name, and you know, because I thought I had a warrant. And I tell him my name's Robert Sweat. And I tell him my bro's birthday, and everything comes back cool, you know. And but he's not buying that that's who I am, you know, because I was a couple years older than the guy. Yeah, that's why I guess I looked older, you know, than my friend. And he was like 3 years younger than me. And, you know, and I smell like a brewery, man. And so he says, you know, he gives me all these road sobriety tests, man. And I practice them things, man. So I'm good at it. You know what I mean? I pass them all, man. I got people clapping. I got like 50 people watching me clapping. Yay, you can do it. And all them girls in bikinis and stuff, man. All these dudes, man, they were rooting me on. And I see my mom walking towards us, man. I'm like, oh, shit. I'm thinking, please don't come over here, Mom. I got this, man. I got this. You can let me go, man. And So my mom gets real close to the car, and the officer tells her, ma'am, could you step back, please? She says, well, that's my son, and that's my car. And if you're going to take him to jail, I don't want my car to get impounded. He's like, well, he's your son. Well, maybe you could verify who he is for us. Yeah, that's what I said. Oh, no. You know what I mean? And I'm like, please let her know the name I told him. She has no idea, you know. She knows my name. She says, well, what's his name? And she said, tells him my name and my birth date. And he's like, well, who the hell's Robert Sweat? Well, I went to jail and I got my first drunk driving, you know, and they beat the shit out of me down there in that Huntington Beach jail, man. And I stayed in there for 3 days, and I was resisting arrest when I got down there because I wouldn't blow in their thing. And I told them, I ain't doing it, man. I ain't drunk. I ain't blowing it. It's against my rights. And man, them dudes, man, it was ugly, man. They drew my blood. They forced me to give them blood. And, you know, I got out 3 days later, and shit, man, I told my mom I need a drink, man. And we went right across the street from there. There's right around the corner, there's a little bar. I went in there and got me a Beefeaters and a couple kamikazes, and I was feeling good again. Didn't even feel like I'd went to jail, you know what I mean? You know, it's okay in my family to be crazy, man. You know, what I've been doing since I got out of prison, man, is I've been working with other alcoholics. I try to take my sponsees through the steps if they want to do it, and most of them don't want to do it. You know what I mean? They say they do, but when the rubber hits the road, man, they ain't nowhere to be found. You know what I mean? And they not, you know, and I don't judge them, man, because I'm just like them, man. And what happens when we do that is we can sit in here and we can be miserable, or we end up leaving. And then we come back because, you know, shit starts hitting the fan again, and, you know, the old lady gets mad at us, or, you know, the job's on you, or you maybe pick up a DUI, or you pick up as a possession, or, you know, whatever, you know what I mean? And, you know, I have one guy, man, I have two guys, actually, man, that are doing the deal. And it's a great honor, man, to be working with these guys, man. You know, my one guy's got like 42 days, man, and he calls every day. He's read the book already. It's amazing when they do what you suggest for them to do, man. It's like, oh my goodness, man. Now though, you know what that means? I got to get busy. You know, that means I got to start reading again, and I got to start doing some work, and you know. But that's okay, man. That's what this is about, man. You know, the life that I have, man. I've been rocketing in that fourth dimension of existence, like my Uncle David talks about. You know, and I know what he means now, man. I'm spiritually free, man. Everything lines up, man. It's like, And it's just all just happening now, man. I have a great job. I get along with all my coworkers. And we all talk shit and all this good stuff, man. But we all like our job, man. When I get up in the morning, I want to go to work. You know, that's change, man. You know, it has to do with, you know, my boss. You know, he's in the program, Jack R. And, you know, he's got like 27 or 28 years. And he understands me, man. You know me, because about every other week, man, I want to go batshit crazy, man, over the stupidest things, man. You know, like I was talking on my, I talk on my phone a little bit, man, because I got a lot of people in the program that call, man. You know, Jack told me when he hired me, man, he's like, look, man, recovery comes first, man. I know that. You know, just get the job done. And so one of the guys took it upon themselves and they told the boss that I was on the phone a little too much. So, you know, he's got to be a boss, you know. He's got to go through the motions and take me in the office and tell him, you know, hey, I need to talk to you, Staples. And I'm like, okay. So we go in there and he says, you can't do no wrong in my eyes. I love you. And I'm like, okay, what the fuck, you know, it's like, he's like, okay, now I got to be the boss. It's been brought to my attention that you've been on your phone a little too much, and it's bothering somebody, and I went batshit crazy, man, that rat son of a gun, man, who is it, man, I'm going to kick his butt, or, you know what I mean, I went ballistic, man, and he's like, didn't you hear what I told you when you first walked in here? You can't do no wrong in my eyes. I'm like, oh, I missed that, man. I missed that. As soon as somebody told on me, man, I'm ready to throw it all away, man. You know, cut me off in the road, man, and I lose my spirituality, man. I'm getting better. You know what I mean? I'm getting better. You know what I mean? I don't speed no more. I try to really, really watch my speed because I've had 2 speeding tickets since I got out. And I couldn't talk my way out of them. But I'll be honest with you, I've talked my way out of the 3 other ones that I should have got. I was doing 85 in a 55-mile-an-hour zone out by the dump, man. And I got pulled over. And I was going to pick one of my friends out that can't get this, man. He was getting released from jail. And his girlfriend called me and was freaking out because he's going to be waiting outside. And I'm like, okay, I'll drive all the way out there. But by the time I get there, he's already going to be home with you. And she's like, no, he's not. He's out there and it's cold. And I'm like, oh, my God. All right, I'm going to get up. And I was already home, going to be home from the night, man. And it's about 9:30 at night, man. I went to my meeting. And I was at home chilling, man. And, you know, the way I kick it at my house, man, it's, I got a TV. I got some big TVs, man. I got 60-inch in the living room and a 55-inch in the bedroom, and I don't even turn them on, man. You know what I mean? I just sit in there quiet, man. Because I promised myself something when I got out of prison, man. That because if you've ever been in a dorm living, man, I hate dorm living. You got 15 radios playing 15 different songs, and it's crazy. And you got all these, you got 32 guys, man, just talking as loud as they can talk, because you got to get louder than the other guy. And I swore to myself, man, that when I got out, man, I was going to have some peace, man. And I think that's why I don't turn on the TV, because I like the quiet time, man. I like to have meditation, man. I get to think and I get to reflect on what's going on in my life, man. You know, and then when I'm tripping a little bit, I pace the kitchen floor, man. I got them steps counted out how long that cell is, man. You know what I mean? And I pace that. I got that down. You know, it's institutionalized, man. And you know, but I can't stress enough to you, man, that if you're sitting here and you don't think you belong here and you think that the party's over, I'm going to tell you, you're wrong. You do belong here, man. If alcohol or drugs or whatever your problem is causing you some havoc in your life and you want to find a way to change it, there's a remedy, man, and it's the Alcoholics Anonymous book and the 12 steps. You know what I mean? I can't tell you to go to that other program because I did my steps through the AA book, okay, and that's where I got my freedom, man. And it's like my sponsee, man. I told him, I'll take you through the AA book. I can't do the other one, man, because I haven't done it myself, you know. And I'm finding, as my Uncle David told me before he died, he says, you know, you're gonna run into a bump in the road, man, and you're gonna find that we're not gonna baby you in AA, man. And there's people in there that are going to love you, and they're going to tell you the truth, man. And you can be a success in this program. He says you're going to get at a point in your recovery that you're going to probably want to go over to the other program, man. And I've been finding myself going to a lot more AA meetings lately, man. I find more peace here. I see a lot more more structure. I see that the program's followed more better here, and I see a lot of people in here that genuinely care, and there's a lot of people in here that ain't afraid to call me on my stuff, and I like that, man. I don't need to be patted on my back and say, hey, dude, you're doing all right, man. You know, or hey, dude, man, it's going to be all right. You know, I need somebody to tell me, hey, man, are you writing? Are you reading? Are you working with other alcoholics? You know what I mean? Are you know, my service, man, is working with newcomers, man. You know, we're with my sponsees, man, going to meetings every night. You know, and that's where I get my greatest joy, man. You know, I got asked to speak at the other program's convention up in Sacramento, man, in April. And that's an honor, man. You know, I'm trying to get approved to carry the message into the prison where I heard the message at. Because see, when I was already sober for about 3.5 years, and I met a guy named Wayne. This man drove 2.5 hours each direction to bring the AA meeting into that prison that I was at. I was at a fire camp, and he told me he had been waiting for me, man. For 12 to 15 years or something, he said. And he says, man, I've sat here many nights, man, and nobody come to the meeting. But I sat for the whole hour and then I leave. And he says, I've been waiting on you, man. And that guy took me through the book. He took me through my steps. And he helped change my life, man. And that's my ultimate goal, is that I want to be able to get back inside, man. You know, you think that, you know, you got out of prison, man, you don't want to get back in there. You know, but I want to get back in there and I want to carry the message, man, of freedom and hope, man. You know, that of some way that you can change your life, you know. And that's what I found in here, is a remedy on how to live my life in my own skin. You know, because once you take the alcohol away, now I got a living problem. Okay, and that's what the 12 steps have given me. They give me a way to live my life comfortably without medicating myself at all. At all, man. When I say all, for me, I can't do nothing. Okay, that's just all there is about it. I know the singleness of purpose here is alcohol. But, I mean, I got the first edition AA book, man, thanks to my Uncle David. And, you know, they tell me it's worth some money, man. You know what I mean? And I'm reading that book. I don't care how much it's worth or whatever. I'm opening it up and I'm bending the pages and I'm marking it up and I'm reading it, man. And it talks in there, it said, you know, I was reading something earlier today, and because I told you earlier, I don't read that well and I don't retain what I read very well. But it was talking in there, it said something about alcoholics and addicts in that book. Okay? You know, and I respect this program enough that I got enough war stories about alcohol, because it's ruined my life. That's what I go to every time first, is the booze. The booze takes me out every time, man. In my inventory, that's what's taking me out every time. It wasn't the drugs, it was the alcohol. It's cutting, baffling, and powerful, man. And it kills more people than any other drug in the world, man. You can die from the withdrawals of alcohol. You know, so I'm going to give you one last funny story, man. I've shared this many times, and I'll tell you this, that don't drive without a windshield in your car. You know what I mean? You know, I was in Goshen, California, and I was high on beef eaters, man, and I was high on whatever else I could get my hands on, and I had to meet somebody in Woodlake, man, and off we went, man. Off I went. And, you know, we had just kicked this windshield out of this car, and I didn't want to get glass in my eyes, man, so I had a motorcycle helmet and some goggles, and I took off driving, man. It was just about getting dark or whatever, and I drove right by the sheriff cop, and I got on yellow Scott goggles and a Belmonte yellow helmet, and I'm jamming down the road. And I went past him, and he's like, I'm like, please don't let him see me. Yeah, I'm invisible. You know what I mean? And I drove past him, man. And I'm like, whew, man, he didn't pull behind me. And I went all the way to Woodlake, man. And, you know, they got a liquor store right across the street, kind of by that Super Taco or whatever. And I ought to go in there and say hi to that guy, man, because I bought a lot of bottles of beefeaters from that guy, man. And he's like, man, you really like this stuff? I said, man, it gets me messed up. You know what I mean? It does, man. Gin makes me smart. It makes me really smart. And so I get back. I met my friend there, and off I come back to Tulare and or to Goshen, and I'm just praying when I turn down that road, man, right by the KOA campground, that sheriff ain't there. You know what I mean? You know, because I went from Goshen to Woodlake. It only took about 10 minutes to do what I had to do there at that little liquor store, because that's where old homeboy met me at. Got my bottle. Got me another bottle. I probably bought two or three there. I don't remember, man, because that was like my getting spot, because I was there like every other day, you know, meeting my boy there, you know. And so I turned that little curve right there by the KOA, headed to the Goshen Village Apartments, and oh my God, that sheriff car was still sitting there. I didn't know that he was waiting, hoping that I'd drive back by, because I blew his brains when I drove by with no windshield and a motorcycle helmet on in the car, you know what I mean? You know, so I drove past him like, man, you know, please, God, don't let him pull me over. You know what I mean? And shit, man, as soon as I went past him, man, just boom, he turned the lights on and blue and red and boom, I pulled right over. That car hadn't been tagged in about 12 years. And there ain't no windshield. And he comes up, he started to go to the driver's door, but he went to the passenger door and he's like, what's going on? And I can't really, you know, he said something like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm trying to get the helmet. I can't hear you. He says, what are you doing? I'm like, I live right there in the Goshen Village Apartments. I'm just trying to get home, officer. He's like, no, you're driving a car with a motorcycle helmet on with no windshield. He says, you drove by me earlier and I couldn't believe what I seen or saw. You know, I don't know exactly what he said, but it was to that effect, man. And, you know, he's like, Monty, he recognized me, you know, because that's the image that I have to all these policemen in this whole Visalia, the Tulare County Sheriff's and the Tulare PD know me well. You know, he says, do you got any wants, warrants, or holds? I'm like, nope. He says, I'm going to go run your license, and when I come back, as long as you don't got any wants, warrants, or holds, I'm not going to search your vehicle. And I'm thinking, please don't search the vehicle. You know what I mean? Because there's bottles of that shit in there, and then there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's going to give me some time, man. And so he comes back, hands me my license, says, I'd like to talk to you outside of the car, man. I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to jail, man. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, you know, and don't let them let you see you sweat. Man, well, I was sweating, man. You know what I mean? Because I had a bunch in the car, man, and you know, and I was hella drunk, man. You know, and but I was, you know, I could walk, man, because that was just my normal state, you know. And I think I was probably could walk better when I'm drunk, you know, at that time. But he tells me, he says, look, I'm not going to search your vehicle, but I want you to be honest with me, man. He says, for one, you shouldn't be drinking and driving, man, and I could take you to jail right now, and I'm not going to. He says, I want you to get your ass home, something like that. He was real stern with me. He says, when are you going to change, man? You're ruining your life, man. He says, do you want to change? I'm like, nope. He's like, man, that's sad, man. You got a lot of potential or something, he told me. He gave me some really good advice, you know, and he says, do you got any drugs in the car? I'm like, yeah. He said, how much you got in there? I said, a lot, man. And he actually looked at it and told me, you need to get off the streets, man. If I see you again tonight, I'm going to arrest your ass. And he let me go, man. You know, I got a couple breaks like that, man. Grassel's brother gave me some breaks, man, that helped change my life, man. He made me be responsible for my actions, man. He was my parole officer. And he told me, he says, I'm not going to bust you, man, for dirty tests. I'm not going to send you back because you're going to send yourself back. He says, I'm going to let you get off parole. And he let me, I got off parole. And he told me, he says, when he discharged me, man, he come out to my mom's house out there in Goshen. He says, you're off parole now, man. I did 3 years, you know, and he tells me, he says, when you get busted next time, you have nobody to blame but yourself. You know what I mean? And when I got busted the last time, man, I took responsibility for my actions. You know, I hit my knees, man, that morning on December the 28th, and I asked a higher power to come into my life and to show me how to stay sober. Amen. That's all I asked. And you know what? I've been sober ever since then, man. It's been up and down. I've been through deaths. I've been through breakups. You know, all kinds of stuff that were good excuses in the past to get loaded. But there's not a good enough excuse for me to go back to that insanity, man. That's how I live, man. Anyways, thanks for letting me share.